Would you join me in prayer as we ask the Lord to speak to our hearts from a passage I believe is really difficult, but at the same time, so very important. Gracious Lord, would you speak to us now from your word, as you did so through Paul to the believers in the province of Galatia. Would you touch our hearts? Lord God, I know that the enemy will want to blind us in these areas, but would you lift the veil, allow us, Lord, to sense your presence and to know without doubt in our spirit your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A while ago, I had told you about a story that I heard. I was in a conference, Barbara and I, and an evangelical Christian conference. Pastors there, leaders, were pretty, you know, orthodox. And a pastor from Toronto came, and he was sharing with just some of us. And from a very large church, a well-known church in Toronto, a Chinese church. And I don't know how we got into it, but somehow he began to tell us a story about what happened in his church. There was a lady that came, and she was an immigrant from Hong Kong, and she gave her life to the Lord. She had a daughter, and she brought her daughter with her. She did not give her life to the Lord. But one particular time, during service or after an audience event, her daughter manifested. If you know what that means, if you've been involved in it or seen it or even read about it, what happens is, as we read in the scriptures, people that are demonized and they manifest, like that man on the other side of the sea you read about and so forth. Oftentimes, they get thrown to the ground and they seem like they are in a seizure. They foam at the mouth, and I've seen that, dealt with some of it. Nothing that I look forward to, but nevertheless, they do happen. And so they decided as a church to do what the Bible says, and that is to go and pray over her, and the mother welcomed them to come to her house. And so a group of elders, they had elders in that church, along with the pastors, went over, and they spent a bit of time with her and granting to her seemingly a deliverance. And what happened was this. The mother said when she was in Hong Kong, the daughter was really sick and she was going to die. And this is not unusual from places that we come from. Many of you are Chinese from Hong Kong. Most children, including myself, we were dedicated at the temples. That's just what they do. That's what we do here in church. That's what the Buddhist religion, the Hindu religion, the Taoist religion, they do that too. And so this particular baby was so sick, and nobody can heal her, it seems like. So she brought this baby to a Taoist temple. And there she offered a baby to whatever gods that were there and said, if you heal her, I will give her to you. And so sure enough, she was healed. They came over, immigrated to America, and demons don't leave you just because you went to different continents. And so there she was. And then praise the Lord, you know, afterwards, all the elders in the church and the church rejoiced that, you know, this girl was delivered from these horrific things, you know, getting thrown all over the place, thrashing around, you know, physically getting beaten up literally, and being in this prison spiritually. But about a week later, the mother came back and said, you have to come back. Because what happens during that week, and you can't really understand it, but it's what she said, it's what happened, that the daughter was so kind of depressed. She was missing the fellowship, the presence, the friendship of whatever that was in her. So literally she went back out and she said basically, come back into me. And it seemed like many more came. This is from a spiritual end. This is from a church end. But I want to tell you, being in prison is a pretty common thing for humanity. Kath French, who is maybe one of the leaders of Elijah Rising, which is a traffic, women traffic group in Houston, whom we have met with. She spoke in our church, and I believe there is a van that's going to take some of us around to show where all these traffic, these brothels are throughout Houston. She talked about it, and she said, people will ask, why do these women stay? You know, it's not like they're in chains, physical chains. Sometimes they are, but a lot of times they're not. Why do they stay? You know, why do they stay there when they can just run out? It's kind of like the story of Elizabeth Smart. You remember the little girl that was taken for a long, long time to find. And oftentimes they even had videos or pictures of her, you know, she was out there on her own. You know, why didn't she run away from her captor? Well, because, you see, Catherine said, there is this chain around their brains. Because enslavement is not just a physical thing. It is not only a spiritual thing. It is not just a sociological thing. It's psychological. It's personality. All those things, because humanity is enslaved by the power of sin. I think one of the phrases that we as pastors and theologians all over, you learn about is the word total depravity. You know, what does that mean? There is no goodness in man. We are just sinful through and through. No matter how good we come across, there's just a depth of sin in us. Maybe we see it in other people, we don't see it in ourselves, but we are enslaved. But you see, when we become God's people, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, the key is turned, the cage is open, you are released, the chains are loosened, you are free. That's what we are. We gain freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the consequences of sin. But a lot of times, we get pulled right back into it. So there's this pull towards enslavement. And the Apostle Paul, as frustrated as can be, you know, here it is. He has ministered to these people. And now he hears all kinds of stories of how they have gone right back toward enslavement. I want to share three thoughts with you in this simple passage as we work through the book of Galatians. First of all, the power of slavery. In case you think it's not powerful, I mean, we haven't seen slavery physically like the old days, the power of it. An experiment done, and I think I mentioned to you this a while ago, but I'm going to use it again. And it was done on a dog. You know, dogs, they were doing all kinds of experiments to see behavior. Psychologists use those things. The little monkey with a terry cloth monkey, you know, you gone through it. I only took psychology 101, so that's all I have. And, you know, where would the monkey go? Is this wire monkey mother or the terry cloth monkey mother? And the wire monkey one has all the food and nutrient. The other one just has the terry cloth. Well, a monkey, little baby monkey, will go and have all the nutrients and then jump over to the terry cloth monkey, right? Remember that? And it wants to cuddle. Interesting. And then, of course, the Pavlov dog thing, right? You ring a bell, and then you give the dog some food. You ring that and give the dog some food, some more. Eventually, all you have to do is ring the bell, and the dog begins to salivate. You don't have to give him any food. Well, they did this other experiment in which they put a dog in a cage. This was done in the 60s. They put in a metal wire cage. The dog's locked in there. He's not happy. Then they connected two electrodes to it. These electrodes would be connected to the wire cage. And every once in a while, they would shock it, send a jolt in there. And it would hurt the dog because, you know, the paw's there. And it would jump around, you know, yelping, barking, et cetera, et cetera. They did that continuously for a time. And eventually the dog didn't bark anymore. And then eventually the dog even lay down, depressed. Every time the electrode would be fired up, they would just wince, you know, just kind of move a little bit. See, it became normal for the dog to be in a cage, to be shocked in the cage. And then this is what they did. They opened up the door. And they did it. Didn't matter. The dog didn't come out. Got used to it. Got used to enslavement because the power of slavery is that much. You just think it is normal. That's it. And that's how it is with us. You know, we get locked into things that enslave us. You know, whether it's the stuff that are out there in the social things that we read about, you know, whether it's wife abuse, the wife just keeps on staying there, being abused day after day, or is some other things that we're locked into, some addiction that we used to. Have you ever tried to get somebody out of some kind of addiction? You know, they don't even admit it. They're so locked up in their alcoholism or the drug abuse, whatever it is, they're stuck there and they don't even want to get out. The power of slavery. And so the Apostle Paul is talking to these guys, and slavery can be all kinds, all forms. It is certainly physical when somebody puts you in a cage, makes you a slave, and we have millions and millions of slaves throughout this world. But there's other ways too. Culturally, we can be locked up in a slavery situation. And sometimes sociologically, sometimes psychologically, whatever it is, the power of slavery is so powerful there. It is there impacting us. And so the Apostle Paul talks about what's happening there in Galatia. He talks about them and says, what are you guys doing? You are worshiping all these gods that were no gods before. Now why are you going back to it? See, the power of slavery is that it keeps on sucking you in. You know, you don't have to go back in, but you get sucked into it. And if you ever struggle with anything, if you ever struggle with a sin, you know what it is. God has given you deliverance over that sin. But you get sucked into it. It just pulls you back, you know? Certainly addictions, all kinds of addictions. I don't even have to mention what they are, but the addictiveness of these things is just pull you back. And nowadays, not so much, and certainly not in a Baptist church. But once upon a time, the addiction of smoking is so horrendous. I mean, people just, they can't do it. They can't deal with it. Going on a flight on an airplane, you know, they can't wait to get out. They're dying there. Addiction. But the power of slavery does that. It just sucks you in. And you say, well, as God's people, does that happen? Oh, yeah, it does happen. Because you and I have been freed of many, many things. Every one of us is something different. Certainly the power of sin has been broken. The consequences of sin, we know what's going to happen. We know our bodies will die, but we know we have eternal life. We know the consequences is gone. I mean, the eternal damnation part of it is all gone. Our names are written in the book of life. But the power of slavery continues, though, in this life to suck us in, to pull us back. So these guys are there. They can't help it. You know, they can't help it. We used to worship these gods. We have to go do this and this and this and this, you know. Of course you have to do those things. Even as a Christian, you have to do those things. And Paul is saying, you don't have to do that. Don't get sucked back in. Don't think that's just, you know, outward decoration. They actually impact your life when you do those things. The second thing I find here in this passage is interesting. The hatred toward truth. So Paul describes his relationship with these people. Great, are you kidding me? He says they would even gouge out their eyes for Paul. How many people here would gouge out your eye for somebody else? All of you raising your hand, right? So quickly. I mean, they love Paul. Paul was there. They just venerated him. I mean, he was that guy. He was the guy that brought the freedom gospel to them. He was the guy that let them out of this destructiveness of sin. Right? And then he says, but am I your enemy now because I'm willing to tell you the truth? Whew. It's really hard to talk about truth these days. Because if you say truthful things today, then you're a bigot, right? You are all kinds of phobes. You are an awful human being. So if you're an evangelical Christian and you believe in the Word of God, you're just a bad guy. How dare you? When you talk about even things such as sin and consequence, oh, awful. I don't know how many times I've read lately how a loving God could ever sentence anybody to damnation. That's unthinkable. What a cruel creature he must be. And so if you follow that God, you're a cruel human being. Telling the truth, it's very scary today. And you know what? Worse than that is telling the truth to Christians is becoming to be scary too. That's what Paul was doing here. Paul's saying he's talking to Christians, people he led to the Lord, people he worked with, people he's eaten with, people he's been in their homes with. And he's saying, am I your enemy now because I told you the truth? Because I told you sin is sin? I tell you, you don't need to be enslaved by this? Am I your enemy now? And I'm going to tell you, a lot of churches today, it is not safe to speak truth. But I want to promise you this, just on a sidebar. As long as I'm your pastor, you will hear nothing but truth from me. Throw me out if it's wrong for you to accept the Bible. But it's going to come from the Word of God. I'm not going to make anything up. I'm not going to delete things from it. Whether it is a way of life, whether it is a way to salvation, whether it is how you treat one another, whether it is how we live as brothers and sisters in the Lord, whether it is our vision for our church, it has to be truth. It has to come from the Word of God. So many churches today, too many. And you wonder why 7,000 of them are closing every single year. They're not speaking truth. And if you do not speak truth, what in the world is the church for? We don't need a church. We just need a community center. A community center will take care of this community without telling the truth. Let's just help them, you know? And sometimes that's all more important. Just help them at this moment right now. Forget about it. You know, don't bother them with the gospel. Don't tell them they got to change their lifestyle. Don't tell them they got to stop being addicted to this. Make them feel a little better for this moment. And if you speak the truth, they hate you. They call it hate speech in school. Some of you are college students, you know that. Oh my, I feel so bad for college ministries. I feel so bad for people who are trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. We have a BSM ministry. We have three persons that is you of age. I tell you, God bless these people. They are there in the camp on the campuses. If you haven't met them, you want to know James, Hannah, and Garrett. They are there on the campuses helping these students, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, probably having some people say, look at those bigots there. Look at those guys that are hateful. Because you see, if you tell truth, they hate you. So it's nothing new, all right? Happened 2,000 years ago. We need to stand firm on that. The third thing he speaks of is interesting. The importance of godly passion. He talks about being zealous. And he said, these people are zealous. And he said, it's great to be zealous. It's great to have zeal. Oh my goodness, I watched sometimes on televisions some of these folks in our country being so zealous about so many things. Posters all over, standing, protesting this and that, whatever. You can imagine what it is. But just because you're passionate for something doesn't make it right. Just because you have zeal for something doesn't make it right. And Paul is saying, listen, those guys are so zealous to change you, to bring you back into slavery. So really? Oh, yeah. We need passion. We need to be zealous for the Lord, for the things of God. I mean, if you're going to be out there and you believe in protesting, I know lots of people that have stood in front of abortion clinics and protest. That's fine. You want to do that. But please don't focus us over things that matter not or have nothing to do with the gospel message. We want to be people that are passionate and full of zeal, but for the Lord. Today I want to share two thoughts. I want to ask you to think of two things. First, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you what's happening. And I hope you can hear this, and by the Spirit of God, you'll hear it, otherwise you will not. You are enslaved. You are a slave to sin. That's what the Bible says. Your chains, the chains are all around you. You can hardly hear truth. You haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're a great human being, you think. Or if you're very religious and it's over something else, it doesn't matter. You are enslaved to sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means you are enslaved, the Bible tells us. I don't want to speak to you about getting out of that slavery. There's only one way, and it's your choice. Because if you hear it now, a lot of people can say, I never heard it, but not you. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And Pastor Matt talked about this during worship. He came to become a man. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. In 3 days, he resurrected. And the Bible said, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You will be free from the power of sin, from the consequences of sin. If you've never done that, it's possible somebody here has never done it. You want to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sins. You want to do that today. Now, there's a second group of people, because that's the group of people Paul was speaking to in Galatians. These are the Christians that have fallen back into slavery, that have gone back to the prison of their sins. They can't get out of it or something. Like, they got out and they said, no, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going to go back to worshiping. It's much easier. You see, when you are a slave, it's easier than to be free. You see? Well, when you're in a cage, you're in that cage. They're going to give you a little bit of food. You know, they're going to tell you what you need to do. They're going to tell you how you're going to dress. All those things. You're in that slave. You're in prison. You can't. You have no freedom to thrive. You have no freedom to do all that God wants you to be. You're just there. And sometimes it's so much easier to be a slave. And not only that, to be as a slave, you're so used to it, you know? It was the way before. That's how I felt so comfortable. I love being a slave. That's all I knew. And suddenly, now you're thrust into freedom in which the Spirit of God chooses you to do great and awesome things and propels you forward. Oh, my goodness. That's hard. She says, let me get back to being a slavery. You know, let me burn these things and recite these things and just do these things and I'm okay. No, don't do that. Because God has made you free. And free men and free women do different things than enslaved people. Free men and free women are victorious in what they do. They are happy in what they do. They are visionaries and passionate, you know. They accomplish things for God's sake. Don't go back. Don't allow those things to pull you back. Don't allow those addictions. Don't allow any of those things to pull you back. And Paul is speaking to these Galatians this way. Now, the next chapter, he's going to talk a lot more about it. But don't you allow those chains to come back upon you. Don't you allow that cage to be open and sneaking back in. Don't you allow any of that to happen. Open the door. Let it go. Come out of it. And you know what God will do? Great and awesome things in your life if you do. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to come to that before you and thank you that each person can have that freedom in you. Oh, Lord God, I pray that if there's any enslavement in this room, if there's anything that is keeping any person here from a free life with you, I pray that you would. Now, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, but for this moment you heard it, you want to say, Lord Jesus, Lord, I want to become a believer right now. You want to do that. Would you pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins? Say, Lord, forgive my sins and become my Lord and my Savior right now. If you've done that, I'm just going to ask that you just raise your hand right here. Let me know. I'm just going to ask this as well. If there's anybody here that's just locked up in sin right now, you feel like you're enslaved, you want to be free again, you want to come out of that cage, would you ask the Lord to give you a hand? Ask the Lord to give you the strength you need to quit that job, to stop that habit, to change that pattern. Say, Lord Jesus, help me discover freedom in you. Father, I want to thank you so much for the freedom that you give to us. Would you answer these prayers today? Jesus' name.